It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, we are back with our teacher, Connie Stanfill. And Connie, thanks for joining us at the table. What will we be learning in today's Bible study lesson?
Well, we're in Genesis chapter 32, verses 1 to 21. And as Jacob enters the promised land, he's got a big worry, and that's his brother Esau.
All right, we're going to read there, starting in verse 1, and then Connie will teach. And it goes like this. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." So he called the name of that place Mahanaim.
All right. Well, here, just two verses, but we're going to concentrate on them for just a moment. We find it says, Jacob went on his way. And so Jacob obeyed God's command to return to Canaan. That's number one. And then we find that the angels of God met him. That's really important. We find the only place in Scripture that this expression, angels of God, is used is back in Genesis 28, when the angels of God were ascending and descending on the ladder that Jacob saw in the vision. And so God is here reminding Jacob of something. He's on his way back to where God told him to be, and God's angels are there. And we find it's not just a few. It's actually, Jacob is going to call this is the camp of God, or the host of God, or it's the company of God. And so it means it's a large group of angels. And really, I think the implication is God is protecting Jacob. He's entering the land, and God is with him, as he promised. And Jacob recognizes this because he calls the area Mahanaim, which means two camps, or double camp, or double hosts. And so there's Jacob's group of people, but there's also the spiritual forces that are with him, following him.
All right. Picking it up in verse 3, and Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, in the country of Edom, instructing them, "Thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male servants, and female servants. I have sent to tell my lord in order that I may find favor in your sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he is coming to meet you, and there are 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people who were with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two camps, thinking, "If Esau comes to the one camp and attacks it, then the camp that is left will escape."
Thank you, Amy. And of course, the obvious question is, why is Jacob so afraid of Esau? As we think back to where we've been before in Genesis, when Jacob left Canaan, what was his relationship with Esau? I'll ask you, Amy.
Well,
just to remind
us. Was not good. It was full of fear. Jacob had deceived him from the birthright, and he had to flee.
Right, because Esau actually wanted to kill him. Yeah. And Jacob doesn't know, this is 20 years later, but perhaps Esau still feels the same way. And so he sends messengers to Edom in that land of Seir, which sounds like hairy, which is Edom, or which is Esau's name, in the country of Edom, which means red. And so this is, again, Esau's place. And he says, "You shall say to my lord Esau." And here we have Jacob being very humble. And so he, the one that's prophesied to be the predominant one and the authority and the lord over Esau, is now calling Esau his lord. And so there's a humility there. And then he gives a brief history of where he's been and how he's prospered. And then he wants to find favor in his sight. And so Jacob desires reconciliation. We find that when the messengers return, they say, "Esau's coming to meet you, and he has 400 men with you."
Yes.
Which is a sizable force and could spell trouble for Jacob.
Indeed. All right, picking it up in verse 9, and Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your kindred, that I may do you good,' I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all of the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mothers with the children. But you said, 'I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.'"
Here we have a beautiful prayer of Jacob, and we're really truly seeing how God is changing him. We see him calling God Lord, or Yahweh, for the first time, his personal Lord, the covenant-keeping God. We also find him reminding God of his word and his promises. And the idea that he's going to have descendants as numerous as the sand of the sea. If Esau kills them all, then there won't be descendants. Yeah. And so he's reminding God of that. He's also recognizing that all his prosperity in his family is directly related to the Lord's steadfast love and faithfulness. And so he realizes God's blessing has been upon him, and it's from the Lord. It's nothing he's done. And then finally, he, in very humble dependence, is seeking the Lord's help. He's saying, would you please deliver me from Esau?
Well, picking it up in verse 13, so he stayed there that night, and from what he had with him, he took a present for his brother Esau, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milking camels and their calves, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. These he handed over to his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, pass on ahead of me and put a space between the drove and drove. He instructed the first, when Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you, to whom do you belong? Where are you going? And whose are these ahead of you? Then you shall say, they belong to your servant Jacob. They are a present sent to my lord Esau, and moreover, he is behind us. He likewise instructed the second and the third and all who followed the droves. You shall say the same thing to Esau when you find him, and you shall say, moreover, your servant Jacob is behind us. For he thought, I may appease him with the present that goes ahead of me, and afterward I shall see his face. Perhaps he will accept me. So the present passed on ahead of him, and he himself stayed that night in the camp.
All right, and so here we have Jacob preparing to meet his brother, and he is doing it with a gift because he desires to appease Esau or have him look with favor on him for him to be accepted. And truly, as we look at this, this is a very generous gift. It's over 550 animals. They have to be separated into five droves. Jacob is very strategic in how his words are. It's a present to my lord Esau from your servant Jacob, and it's he's behind me, and so he's preparing Esau to meet his brother. But in a sense, we could see how Jacob, because of the blessing God has blessed him with, he desires to, in some sense, ask Esau's forgiveness and return some of the blessing to Esau. Because again, he bought the birthright and he stole the blessing. And so he has what actually, at least by birth order, would belong to Esau. And it's a beautiful thing that Jacob has changed to the point where he's acting differently with his brother than he would have 20 years ago.
Yeah, and 20 years ago, Esau was appeased by material fleshly things, wasn't he?
That is true. That is very, very true. It's an interesting thing to really reflect on how God is working to change Jacob.
Yes.
And we hopefully, as we go through the rest of this, we're going to see how God continues to work in Jacob's life. I think the question for us as women is, you know, maybe a reflection question would be, how has God been changing me since I first came to know him? And I can say there's been great things God has done, or not great things, but he's changed me. I'm not the same person I was.
I can look back and say the same thing, Connie. And sometimes it seems, I think, to many women that, oh, I'm not being changed, because we are pretty short-sighted. But when you look back further and you see where you came from, wow.
Yes, even the desires and the things you value and how you spend your time and how you look at things. And truly, our Christian life, I believe, is one of growth. God keeps growing us up and we learn more of him. And his desire is to conform us to Jesus Christ.
All right.
Anyway, that is the conclusion of our lesson today in Genesis. If you go to naomistable.com, you can pick up the study notes and take a closer look at the lesson.